Okay, let's begin right off with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to orient us as to why we're here. So let's begin with a prayer, testing ourselves, see if we're in the Spirit. We can glorify Him. Let's pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that we have the freedom in this country to come together and worship You. Whatever way, Heavenly Father, that we deem is appropriate to the leading of the Spirit. We value the freedom of this country. Even though, Heavenly Father, our personnel dying on the battlefield this very week. So we do not take our freedom lightly. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that our worship this morning will be in the power of the Spirit, therefore glorifying to You. In the name of Your Son, we pray these things. Amen. Let's begin with a song. As has been our custom the last few weeks, let's begin this morning just spending a few moments in prayer. Time is running short on finding a place. We've got the rest of November, which isn't much, and then December, January, and the end of January, we've got to be vacated from this building, this area. Very appreciative to Tish and letting us rent it and being here this long. But that's running out, so let's spend a few moments in prayer. Again, if you are so led to pray out loud, that is most appropriate. We've come together in agreement on what we're praying. Scripture says where two or more come together in agreement, so we're coming together in agreement on what we're going to pray in regard to God's plan as far as finding a place for us to assemble and to worship, fulfill all the functions of the local assembly, and continue our outreach. Let's have a few moments of prayer. We come before you as a local assembly, Heavenly Father, laying our requests being made known to you. That the simplest of things for you to do, Heavenly Father, is a matter of the earth and finding a place that you would have us to assemble. That, Father, we may continue in our own spiritual maturity and growth, fulfilling our own individual destinies in Christ, and continue in our outreach. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, a couple of announcements and things to go through. First of all, I'm going to have a congregational meeting after service this morning. I'll cut it a little short and so that you can feel that it will not be intruding on your time. And it's a conversational congregational meeting, so I hope that you will feel like talking and expressing some thoughts in regard to the assembly and the church and where we might meet and things in that respect. So that will be at the end of this morning. Another note, I got an email, a very startling email from James, that if I mention his name anymore, he isn't going to help us on the internet, and he's going to deny he ever knew us and all the rest of it. So, from here on out, you'll know who I'm talking about. But it's good to have James visiting us here this morning from Houston. And just in that respect, all those lessons that we did in SAD, Living Who You Are in Christ, Ending Stress, Anxiety, and Depression, one disc. Well, how many lessons are there on there? About 100? About 100 lessons. And he's working on getting that where we can put that out. And then something that Jim, you will appreciate. This is a disc for those who will want it, where we put out, he's got the whole month of October on one disc. So for 43 cents and the mailing of that, we can send out a month of lessons in just this way. Yes. These are MP3. Okay, and so those that have that, this will be available. Of course, the tapes are still available, and the internet, but we're getting in close to the 21st century, and so there's that available. Now, does everyone have a little card? Anybody doesn't have a card? Jim, would you pass out the rest if there anybody doesn't have them? Raise your hand if you didn't get one of the little cards. Oh, my goodness. They're in the back when on the chair. There we go. Jim needs one. All right. Okay, before you look at that, a lot of you know, I went to Houston this week and did a memorial service for a 17-year-old young man who died. And it was when I was talking to the people that had called and wondering if that's what I wanted to do, is do that. And then we started talking, and there were going to be teenagers there. And the minute they said there were going to be some teenagers there, I said, that's it. I'll be there. I'll do it. I'm not going to do it if they're going to be a group of teenagers, because, tell you what, teenagers may not listen that much in church, but they'll listen at a funeral, especially when it's one of their own. And there was a good number of teenagers there, and I was so pleased with that. Dealt with talked with the parents and some of the family members, dealing with anger, and some of them were straight and honest enough to tell me they were angry at God. They did not understand why 17 years old and taken home. He had a pulmonary disease, and doctors were not able to do anything. Last year he had a major heart operation, so his body was just closing down more and more, and his death came that he was weak was and that was known, but the suddenness of his death was not. It caught everyone by surprise. Some of his new friends didn't even know that he was sick. He did not make an issue out of it, and he just compensated and dealing with them when activities were going on. He compensated, and no one even knew that Jack had the disease. So we talked to some of the people dealing with anger and why he was taken home that early in life. And when I knew there were going to be a group of teenagers there, went and to the Kinko's and have what you have in your hand printed up. Now, what was so good were the little pamphlet that they give out at memorial services and funerals, like this, with his picture on the front. And on there says Jack Rosick, 1987-2004. So take a look at this, and now if you'll pull out that little card, let's read it together. I read of a reverend who stood, now this is copyrighted, but when we read it, I'm going to change it like I did Thursday with the teens and with the young, with everyone that was there. I read of a reverend who stood to speak at the funeral of his friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following dates, that following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. You could be at dash mid-range. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? And the copywriting is given there for you. And after the service, got to talk to some of the teenagers who were there, and noticed that every teenager I saw walked out with the card. In other words, they didn't just leave it in the church, which we're prone to do so often. and they've carried them out and got to talk to some inside, and then outside they were hanging around some of the young people and had some good conversation. Like I said, they listen at a issue like that. The gospel was well presented, and I encourage you to just be in prayer for unknown people, unknown to you and even unknown to me, that were there, young people as well as the adults. I'm not sidestepping the adults. My message was certainly for them. But as I told the teenagers, they make up one-third of the population in America today. One-third. But they make up 100% of the future. So we had, had a good time just talking with them, I think, and the parents, and giving the gospel, making it very straight. And it's difficult to deal with why young man is cut off in prime of age and with something like a disease like Jack had. And what I told him was that Jack comes into our lives for one important reason. He comes into our lives taken away by God for one very important reason, to remind the rest of us of how important our lives are, how valuable your life is, and how uncertain it is to know about it. So I told him, do not pity Jack at all. He's home with the Lord, and he's doing better than we are. So don't pity him. Pity the person whose body is healthy, and they're just living a wonderful life, and they do not see how bankrupt they are spiritually and how much in need of Christ they are. So we had a good service, and I appreciate your prayers before and continue to be in prayer for the parents and for the people that were there in regard to the work of the Spirit in things that were said, both gospel to the unbeliever and gospel to the believer, the importance of their lives. Also, Vic and Cindy Edwards called, and their daughter had to go in for an operation, and there were complications with her, and she wasn't able to do it one day, so they had to do it Thursday. And talked to them this morning, and the daughter came out of the operation fine. She's still in great pain, but please be in prayer for Charlotte and for Vic and Cindy and their life at this time. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of, please? Yes. Okay, Jean. Okay. Do we know if he's a believer? He is? Okay. Well, let's be in prayer. As we've seen so many times, we don't know all that God is doing when something like this happens to us or to someone that we love. So often, it has been my experience in studying the Bible, so often, things like that that happen to us is not about us. It's about somebody else around us. If you remember in our study of the crisis of faith, for an example, we saw how a very important politician came to Jesus Christ because his son was at the point of death. And it was something he had to work through. And then we saw how a Roman soldier came to Christ. And one of his subordinates was severely ill at the point of death. It wasn't about the two people dead or dying. It was about these two men. And then we saw the woman who came to Jesus Christ and begged him in regard to her daughter. And it wasn't about her. Now, we noticed some things about the sons, and then in the case of the lady, her daughter, and the church, and what these things represented. But in the actual case, the pain wasn't about the person ill. It was about somebody else. And don't ever try to figure out all that God is doing in those kind of areas. Just be, what's he doing in regard to my life in that respect? So we will be in prayer for Gene Morris, and thank you for bringing that up to us. Any other prayer requests? Well, just continue to be in prayer for each other as we all continue in this walking by faith in this in the battle of faith. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. What's a gracious giver? First of all, it's a person who has accepted Christ as Savior, born-again believer. So if you're here this morning and have never accepted Christ as Savior, don't worry about the offering plate. It is not for you. don't think, well, I maybe ought to put in something, maybe I ought to take out something. But it's not about you. The offering plate is of no issue. The only issue for you is the offering on the cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But even for the believer, it's not just for every believer. It's for the believer who is in the power of the Spirit, being led of the Spirit in regard to giving. So at best, the offertory is just a point to check, am I in His power? And then the leading of the Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. What a great freedom we enjoy this morning in America. Heavenly Father, the freedom to do with our money as we see fit. We value the political economic freedom that we do experience and use every day. We are most appreciative, Heavenly Father, for the freedom to do with our money, do with our time, to go to the church that we choose to go to, marry whom we choose. All the decisions that we get to make in freedom, to waste our life away if we see fit, as many Americans are doing. How precious is the freedom to even waste your life? How precious is the freedom to utilize your life? So, Father, we are most appreciative for the men and women who serve throughout the history of this country, right up to this very hour, in providing us with this freedom. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is in this sphere of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom, what to do with our money, our time, where to worship and why, whom to marry and why. All the decisions that we get to make, Heavenly Father. So we are most appreciative for the sacrificial love of Christ that provided us with this freedom and the resurrection that gives us, Heavenly Father, the power to live in this freedom. Now, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you'll use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the spreading of His gospel to unbelievers, in the spreading of His gospel to believers. We pray, Father, you'll continue to use this humble assembly. In Christ's name, amen. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Another very important section in the closing days of the life of Christ, as far as you and I are concerned, that we can learn some things from Jesus Christ and about prayer. We started off the year with a couple of services in the January dealing with making the New Year's resolution to pray. And now as we close out the year here in November, back to some principles about prayer from the life of Christ. Let's begin with the word of prayer, purpose of the prayer. Purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're in the Spirit, for I am not the teacher, He is the teacher. He is the one that will open this up and make it alive and real, and the truth of what is being done here inside of your own soul. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Let's pray. There are so many things that you give us privy to, Heavenly Father, in the Scriptures, and therefore it becomes essential that we allow your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to these things, that we can understand why you let us into these realms. In some passages, Heavenly Father, you take us into the eternal heaven, like in Job chapter 1, where we get to see a conversation going on. In Revelation 5, you take us into heaven. But here, Heavenly Father, you take us into the thinking of Jesus Christ a few days before His death. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears, that we can see and understand what's going on inside of Him, and that we will use it, Heavenly Father, as a guide for our own lives when our souls are in agony. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're now moving to the agony of Jesus Christ, and the agony that is inside of the soul of Christ now takes him and leads him into prayer. But before he goes into the prayer, he's going to spend a short time in prayer preparation. There are three stages of prayer. There is prayer preparation, then there is the prayer, and then there is prayer pursuit. And what we're looking at in verse 27 is not the prayer, but prayer preparation. Let's take a look. Verse 27, now that his hour has come, my soul has become troubled. Passive voice. The soul of Jesus Christ receives being troubled, not because of physical death, people. That is not what is causing the trouble in his soul. Once you understand the truth of things, physical death is not a troubling issue if we know exactly where we're going to be and have that taken care of by faith in Christ. It's the type of death. It's the spiritual death of Christ. It's being separated from God the Father because he is on the cross going to become identified with all the sins of the world. He has never known separation from God the Father. This is going to cause a troubling in his soul. And so, as he moves into this area, he then goes into what we've identified as prayer preparation. He says, and what shall I say? This is not his prayer. What shall I say? When I do go into prayer, what is it that I'm going to pray about? What am I going to pray to the Father about the agony, the troubled soul that I have? Now, this brings us to taking up a few principles about prayer preparation. And if we get the PowerPoint, these are the kinds of things we'll do. You'll have to pardon the smudges. Let's note a few things about prayer preparation. First of all, prayer preparation begins when you decide that you will go to God, depend on God, for the circumstances that have aroused the agony in your soul. So we come into a circumstance in life, as Jesus Christ does. What happens inside of us, there's an agitation. Our soul becomes troubled. All of you understand that. Our teenagers do. Every time the teacher says, get out, put your books away, it's a test. Ah! We're talking severe trouble, because we're not prepared. We're talking about things that come along in our life, in our marriage, single life, finances, health, relationships, and the soul becomes agitated and troubled. Prayer preparation is where you make the decision, I'm going to go to God and lay the circumstances that have caused the arousing in my soul before Him. Secondly, in prayer preparation, you start to be oriented to God the Father, not to the circumstances of your life. People, we haven't even gotten to the prayer yet, and you're already starting your thought process. Things are going to start happening in your body as well as in your soul. So you start being oriented to God the Father. You're thinking about Him. Now, wait a minute. He is the creator of all things. He created me. What is happening in my life, even if it's your fault, even if it's your decision, didn't surprise God. So He's known about it. He loves me. He's made preparation. And you start thinking about God. He has sent His Son, He sent His Spirit, His Word, all these things. So you start changing your whole mindset from, oh my goodness, what am I going to do about this disease? What am I going to do about this illness, about this relationship with my husband, my wife, my friends, romance, whatever it may be, my money, whatever the problem is. Your mind starts shifting from that to God. Then three, in prayer preparation, God's desires become your desires. You enter into prayer preparation pretty much oriented to self. That's what Christ did. Is this what I want to pray? Take the hour away from me? That's very honest. This is very honest. It's not what I want in the flesh being. I do not want to go through this cross and identified with the sins of the world and be separated from my Father and judged. That's honest. So we all enter into prayer preparation with that kind of thing going on in our soul. We enter into it, but what starts to happen It's no longer my desire. Slowly. This isn't just snap decision. Start thinking about God. God saved me. God has a plan for me. I want to be in His plan. And just through a process, boy, you just start moving into His will for my life. His desire. Secondly, under point three, God's thinking becomes your thinking. Start thinking that God as God would think, not as I would think. Oh, if I lose this, if I lose this person, if I lose this, or if I don't have that, this is going to happen, and all these things. No, my thinking changes to His kind of thinking. And then finally, God's will becomes your will. And that's why Christ will say, "Thy will be done." Because in this you start, we enter into prayer preparation, turmoil. Boy, I see the best thing that can do out of this, Father. Here's the ideal thing that can happen, Father. Let me win the lottery. That'll solve all my problems. Let this happen. It'll solve all my problems. Let me be divorced. It'll solve all my problems. Let me be married. It'll solve all my problems. Let me do this. Let me not have the disease. And we slow down and we start saying, "Your will. What is it you have in mind?" Then point four. In prayer preparation, we added a principle from when we studied this many years ago in talking about what we're doing. It's self-talk. In self-talk, in prayer preparation, is what you're doing. You're not talking to the Father. You're in the power of the Spirit, but you're just self-talking. Now look at self-talk for Jesus Christ. In prayer preparation, self-talk. Jesus Christ is in self-talk of prayer preparation when He says, "What shall I say?" So you ask yourself in self-talk, what am I going to ask the Father here? I know I want to go to Him, and I know the trouble that I'm under right now, but what do I want to ask Him? Shall I ask Him this? Shall I say, "God, do this and do that," which is what we want to do in the flesh? What shall I say? "Father, deliver me, save me from this hour." See? And just not through it, but from it. Remember the preposition. Not through it, but from it. I don't even want to go to the cross in this point of the prayer, the prayer preparation. "Deliver me from this hour." Now, what is the hour? The word "hour" is used in the Bible for a period of time of calculated events. In Revelation, we just spent some valuable time. The hour is 7 years of the tribulation. That's the hour. Here, the hour refers to the time on the cross, the trials, the beatings, and then the cross. So here the hour refers to these types of things. Now remember, this is not His prayer. This is prayer preparation. Jesus Christ is, as it were, talking to Himself, and we're given privy to it. "When I go to my Father in prayer, in reference to the hour that is before me, what lies ahead, do I ask Him to deliver me from it?" Then He continues prayer preparation in self-talk, thinking these things through, talking themselves through it, and the next phrase is still part of prayer preparation. This is an important part of prayer preparation. It's vital part of prayer preparation. In fact, I could say this next phrase answers why prayer preparation. Here's where you decide what you're going to pray, people. The next phrase, by Jesus Christ, is a vital part of prayer preparation. It's why you want to spend time in prayer preparation. Because here's where you make the decision of what you're going to pray. And look what He says. He says, "But for this purpose I came to this hour." It's a beautiful process going on in prayer preparation here. First, deliver me. Let me avoid the whole issue. But wait a minute. Can I ask that? Can I really ask that? Because this is why I'm here. I cannot stress how important this is for Jesus Christ and for each of us in prayer preparation in difficult times in life. It is a point where Jesus Christ decides, listen now, He decides what He can and cannot pray. So often we just engage mouth without thinking in our prayers and we ramble. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. It's an encouragement to us. He's just going to think, can I really ask him that? So he's going to decide right here what he can ask God. This is what he's doing at this point. So often we know what to pray, we don't know what to pray, especially in difficult times. Often you do. Often we know what to pray. This morning, pray to test ourselves, see if we're in the Spirit. We pray in regard to the building. Not a whole lot of preparation. But all people, when you have this point that we're dealing with here, the uncertainty and the fear and the agitation of soul and things going on, you'll know the value of prayer preparation. What do I want to pray to God right now? My first inclination, get me out of here. I like that Southwest Airline commercial where they put people in the most embarrassing of circumstances, and then they say, want to get away? And you can buy a Southwest Airline ticket and get out of there. And that's our first inclination. If I could just not be here, if I could not be at this point in this marriage and dealing with my parents or my children or husband, wife, if I didn't have this illness to deal with or a financial problem, whatever it is, want to get away. That's how we enter it. And then as we go through prayer preparation, we go, wait a minute. We start thinking about God and God's plan. And people will tell you right now, I'll tell you a couple more times, Often, prayer preparation will be much longer than your prayer. That's why a lot of times our prayers are long, because we're not sure what we want to say, so we're just doing a lot of talking to God. A lot of times my prayers have been like a blue book exam. I just rattle on and hoping somewhere in there I hit it. Hoping somewhere in that blue book exam I put down what the prophet's looking for. And that's the way a lot of us pray. I just hope somewhere in this prayer I hit it. Well, what we want to do is spend some time in prayer preparation. Just kind of work through in our own mind and the power of the Spirit what we really can and want to pray to God. So look what he comes up with. He says, deliver me from the... Can I say that? But for this purpose I came for this hour. When you come to the crossroads of life, sometimes the great question is not what to do, but the great question is, why are you there at that point so that you can come up with the right decision? Now, I'm not talking about looking back at all the bad decisions you made to get there. I'm talking about, why did God allow me to come to this point in my life where I have to make this decision? So let's go to study the book of Job. We'll see a lot of this. A lot of times where you got to, why am I at this point? Oh, well, I'm here because I made bad decisions. I'm here because of my husband. No, that's not what I'm talking about here. Why did God allow me to get here? Does he have the provision for me? Does he have the answer and the solutions for me? Does he know what he's doing? So, verse 27, now my soul has become troubled. The agony in the soul. What shall I pray? Prayer preparation. To determine what to pray. Is that what I want to pray? Father. All prayers addressed to the Father. Deliver me from this hour, the cross, which would separate him from God in the judgment of sins. And then he says, but wait a minute. I really can't pray that, can I? Why not? Because for this purpose I came to this hour. The word Allah is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It's Allah. And it's a contrast, people. And this is you and me, as well as Christ here. Contrasting a human desire with the will of God. That's what this but contrasts now. But. See, here's a human desire not to be separated from the Father. Contrasted with a sense of purpose. A sense of a purpose or what God has brought him here for, to submit to God the Father. Not his will. My will, avoid it. God's will, go. So this is what he's dealing with for this purpose, to reconcile man with God by the suffering of the cross. I came, aorist active indicative. Point of time, I came. What is the word I came to? This is very important. This is very important, people. Don't please listen. When he says, I came, now the indicative mood here is the reality of the first advent, the reality of incarnation. This is why I came. Now what is that for you and for me? It's our faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior. We believe in Jesus Christ, and then as we start going, we make a decision. I want to follow Christ. I want to make Him the center of my life. And we start putting that together, He's going to come up with a true answer of what he can and cannot pray. My soul has become troubled. All right, let's take a look at the verbs here. My soul has become troubled. So I'm just going to put troubled here so we can see what's happened. A troubled soul. And what we have here is a perfect tense. Perfect. And the reason I'm putting this on the board, that's a passive. And this means his soul receives being troubled because of the circumstances. Just like our soul. You're in some turmoil, your soul receives agitation. Your soul receives trouble. Then he says, what shall I pray? Well, this is aorist subjunctive. Aorist, the point in time when he does pray, subjunctive mood. Maybe I'll say this, maybe I won't. So we have the aorist passive, he receives it, subjunctive mood for us. What am I going to pray? Deliver me from this hour, abandon me. And then he says, for this purpose I came. Now let's put that on the board. I came. Aorist tense. Point in time, incarnation. But what I want to deal with for you is the indicative mood. People, the indicative mood is the mood of reality. The mood of reality. Aorist tense, incarnation. This is why I came to earth. This is why I made the decision to take the form of man and become a member of the human race. Active voice, Jesus Christ made the decision from his own free will as the second member of the Godhead. Indicative mood is the reality starts setting in his soul. Here he is in prayer preparation, and the reality of why he is there starts setting in. Let me give you a principle, people. Give you a principle. In your prayer preparation, allow reality to set in. In prayer preparation, you move to the reality of who and what you are in Christ. This is before you go into prayer. It'll guide your prayer. Get into reality. Who am I? Well, who I am is not about what's happening here. That's not the real issue. What the real issue is, who am I in Christ? Who am I in the plan of God? Now, we can sit here, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a parent, I'm a child, you know, I'm this, I'm that, da-da-da-da, I'm a big shot, I'm a nobody, whatever. No, that's not what we're talking about. Who am I in Christ? That's the only reality. That is reality. That's the reality that counts. Understanding reality. We dealt with triangles one time. Dealing with the reality of your life. Understanding the reality of your life. What is the reality of your existence? It's who and what we are in Christ. This has the whole deal of dealing with getting rid of stress, anxiety, depression in our SAD series. Why? Because there you make that decision, who am I in Christ? Not as far as the world is concerned. It is God the Father's will that Jesus Christ come to the earth in the form of man and die on a cross for the sins of the world, demonstrating his own love. That's the will of God the Father. That's the will of God the Father. Now, let's take a look at Jesus Christ. But for this purpose, I came. For this purpose, I came. Okay. One. He agreed to come to earth as man. Philippians chapter 2. While he was God, sometime in eternity past, he agreed to come to earth as man. Two, he agreed in his life to live a sinless, perfect life. He did that. Three, now something is happening. Up to now, people, the cross has been far away. Even if we take incarnation, it's 33 years away from human, in the human flesh nature. As some of our teenagers here this morning, 33, you're old. Just, you're out of there. That's so far away. I don't know if I'll ever get there. It's a long way away. So, but now, eternity past, member of the human race, lives his life, 3 years of public ministry, and now something is happening. Up to now, it's been a long way away. But then came the tomb of Lazarus. Then came the seeking Greeks. And it's getting very close, the reality that he's going to get ready to die physically, spiritually. 4.4, next came the seeking Greeks after the tomb of Lazarus. A few days away. And this brought the agony to Jesus Christ's soul. 5, this agony brings Jesus Christ to prayer. And the first thing he does is prepare his prayer. Prayer preparation, which he is going through right now in our study. In prayer preparation, Jesus Christ considers what is before him. And this is all in the self-talk of preparation. So he goes through this thing. He does not go to the Father in prayer right away. But he asks himself, what can I ask the Father? What do I want to ask the Father? Deliver me from this hour? Here in the self-talk of prayer preparation, he comes to the conclusion, I can't ask the Father that! That's not what I can ask him! People, what I want to show you is, prayer preparation will guide your prayer. There's so much accomplished in it. I can't ask that. What am I thinking about? Can't even deal with that. That's why I'm here. Now I want to take some points and relate them to you and to me. 1. You were first born into the human race. Physically alive, spiritually dead. You didn't get to pick your race, your sex, your parents, or your physical condition. You're born into the human race. Nothing, you didn't get to say anything about it. 2, then you made a decision about Jesus Christ. And I hope everyone here has made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Then you made a decision about Jesus Christ, to believe in Him as your Savior. 3, then some as you go through life, consistency in Bible class, prayer, walking in the Spirit, you slowly came to the decision to make Christ the center of your life. To make Christ your life. It is not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. 4. Pow! Something happens in your life. You come to some crossroads about exactly where Jesus Christ is going to fit in your life. Are you going to love as Christ loved? Are you going to continue in that momentum? You don't have to, because you won't lose your salvation if you don't. You've got that. The moment you believed in Christ, you are saved once and for all eternally. But you come to something in your life. Maybe in regard to money, maybe in regard to romance, maybe in regard just to the whole purpose of your life. I want my life. This is why Christ has talked about. He will lose his life, gains it in heaven. So you come to something in your life. And people, generally speaking, God brings us all to something in our life where we have to make that decision. It's like a crossroad of where our life really fits with Him. 5. This brings you to an agitated soul, troubled soul, to prayer preparation. Where in self-talk, you examine your life. Examine what your life is about. Here, if you follow Jesus Christ, You come to the conclusion in self-talk or prayer preparation that the whole purpose of your life is to love as Christ loved, no matter the cost. You come to the point where Christ came, that the whole purpose of your life is to love as He loved, no matter the cost. Because that's the decision Christ really made. The decision Christ made was to love no matter the cost. To love the Father for Him, to love the Father, and to love the human race. So, this is the process that we go through. Now, but for this purpose I came to this hour. In prayer preparation, Jesus Christ ends in reality. All right, principle. Allow your time in prayer preparation to bring you to reality. Parentheses, who you are in Christ. And here's the point, people. That will guide you in what to pray. You will now know what you have to pray. It will not be the flesh desires upon which you entered. But if you allow the reality in prayer preparation, reality of who and what you are, that will guide you to difficult decisions, maybe, of what you have to pray. Reality, who you are in Christ. Reality of God, His love, His plan. Reality, you being in control is an illusion. God is in control. Reality will guide your prayer. What you really do indeed desire. Verse 27 is prayer preparation. Verse 28, the prayer. And note how brief the prayer is in verse 28. Father, glorify Thy name. People, as I said before, sometimes you will spend, just to make the point, you'll spend a lot of time in prayer preparation. You'll go through a lot of thinking, analyzing, coming to the point of reality. And then when you get there, boom. And your prayer is very short, very brief. You don't need a long prayer now. Not always. Sometimes you will. I'm not making that a rule. But so often, in a time when your soul is troubled, you go through proper prayer preparation, your prayer is very short, very simple. The soul of Jesus Christ is in agony over the circumstances that He must die and be separated. So the Lord goes to prayer preparation. Let's take some points now as to the process that brings Him to a very short prayer. This one also got a little smudged, but let's see if we can work through this and get some things down. Point one. The first step in prayer preparation is to determine where you're going for the answers, solutions, to your troubled soul, to the circumstances of your life. You've got circumstances in your life that have caused a troubled soul. So I've decided, what are the choices? So you'll get the idea? Well, one, I can run. Just get out of here. Pack up and leave. Two, I can go to the bottle. Go to drugs and alcohol. I can do a lot of different things when you come to this dilemma in life. Three, a good option, I can fall apart. I can just flat fall apart. Have a nervous breakdown. Got a lot of options. What you can do. Prayer preparation, you made the decision, I'm going to go to God, dealing with my circumstances and my troubled soul. Because really that's what I want to get under control first. Even before the circumstances, I want to get that troubled soul taken care of. I want something happening inside of me. So, the first step in prayer preparation is to determine where you're going to go. Where am I going to go with the circumstances I'm now in? Are you going to go to God, or are you going to go to flesh answers? Israel, when they came across this decision, often ran to Egypt. Run to Egypt. Egypt will help us. Run to Assyria to fight the Egyptians, who are our enemy. So you can go to man for your solutions. You can run to somebody. You can run away. You can run to the bottle or to drugs. You can run to nervous breakdown. You can go hide. Or you can just have a lot of fun and gain 20 pounds with chocolate cakes. You can just do a lot of different things at this time. Or you can decide, I'm going to go to God with the circumstances and with a troubled soul. Point two. Prayer preparation is vital in the formation of your soul, of your prayer. Prayer preparation is vital in the formation of your prayer. Now my last point, and I made it the last point on purpose, but about the last point is, people, prayer is serious. Prayer is serious. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. Thank you for the food. Amen. We Christians sometimes get very lax in our prayers. Then sometimes Christians get very serious when they're really in trouble. Okay, God, this is really serious. I want to tune in to you. Prayer is serious. Even if you're just thanking Him for food. Thank you for this food, amen. It's serious stuff. One of the great problems with marriages. Let me tell you one of the great problems with marriages. Not sex, not money, communication. Don't listen, don't communicate. People deal with each other like they deal with God in prayer. Thank you, God, amen, blah, 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 and do that with their husband and wife, and then they wonder why their marriage is in trouble. Serious stuff, people. So here, under this point, in prayer preparation, under point two, it's vital to the formation of your prayer. Next, we'll study the prayer of Jesus Christ. It is short, but directional. It resolves the issue at hand. It lets Jesus Christ know what He's got to do. This is so much involved once He comes to the formation of His prayer. Point three. Prayer preparation is determining what to ask God in your prayer, or say to God. I put the word ask, but then I got to thinking about it. Maybe just what you want to say to Him or ask. It can be either one. But what you want to pray. In this case, what do you want to ask God? Get you out of the jam? What are we going to ask God? So it's very important in that. Point four. Prayer preparation calms the soul. Prayer preparation calms the soul. Now let me tell you why this is so important. We enter this prayer preparation sometime emotionally upset. Emotionally, the emotions control us. You start out troubled. You start occupied with the circumstances. And maybe even a fear, an uncertainty, trouble, all these things. And even before you get to the prayer, under the power of the Holy Spirit, you start experiencing inner peace. Now think about this. Prayer is conversation. Conversation requires thought. If we start off babbling to the Lord, oh God, get me out of this jam, and we're just rambling. But we want to talk to God. So we want to be under control, get the emotions under control. And this would be very good for your husbands and wives, parents and children. Get your emotions under control. Get your fears and your angers and all these things taken care of. Before you open your mouth. Before you open your mouth to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your parents, to someone in life. That's what we're doing in prayer preparation. Letting the Spirit, people, give us that peace. Calm down the emotions. So that we can start thinking. Not reacting. Reacting to the circumstances. Reacting to other people that brought about the circumstances. We're going to think. The soul of our Lord is troubled in agony. There is a real pain in his soul. But now, even in prayer preparation, the soul of the Lord begins to be calmed and encouraged. And that courage takes over. Reality sets in, and courage sets in to face the reality that must come. People, he hadn't even gone to prayer yet. He hasn't even gone to prayer. This is things that the Holy Spirit starts doing inside of us so that we can address the Father in prayer. Parentheses. You mean I can't just fall apart and start talking to God? Yes, you can. I'm not saying that at all. He's your Heavenly Father. But how much better is it for us before we do engage in that prayer, in the power of the Spirit, to get our thinking straight, what we want to talk to Him about. That's what we're dealing with here. We're getting an example from Christ on how we ought to pray. Point five. Control of your emotions, control of a troubled soul, allows concentration on what is really going on in your life. What is really going on in your life? So now you're back into control. The Spirit's in control. Your emotions are under control. Your troubled soul is now calmed by the power of the Spirit. You can now concentrate. What really is going on in my life? I can look at it in the first level and freaks me out. I can look at it in the first level and makes me very angry. I can look at it in the first level and I grow into great fear. But what's really happening? What's really going on in my life? What's God really doing in my life? This is what we're dealing with here. This is what Christ is doing. What's really happening? So, under point six, we're point five. Under point five gives you control of your emotions so that you can think. Let's look at point six and then we'll close. Prayer preparation. What happens here, and as we will see, as in the case of Christ, prayer preparation gives valuable time to assess in your mind what is happening, to determine what he is going to say to God in prayer, to determine what he really desires, what his desires are. Jesus Christ first starts as a soul in agony. He knows that he will go to the Father in prayer, and he entered all of this to get out of all, to escape the cross, deliver it. No, I can't do that. So his thinking now gets controlled, and he's now able to just, what do I really want to pray to God? And it's going to be very simple. Thy will be done. Glorify thy name. That's how simple this comes. And mean it. With a peaceful soul. With a peaceful soul. So often, what a lot of people do with prayer is the moment they hang up, the moment they say amen, they're right back, freaking out. People, I want your prayers to be dynamic. Your prayers to guide what you do when you say amen. A lot of people in difficult times, you stop because maybe someone's there with you and you start praying. And boy, it's amazing just for that few moments. I've had this happen so many times in 30 years of the ministry. While you sit down and pray, they start crying. And I have them pray. They can pray. And then the minute we say amen, I go, what just happened? I thought we did something here. No, we didn't. No, we didn't. People, I cannot overemphasize how important prayer preparation can be in your life. What it can do to your soul. What it allows the Holy Spirit to start working inside of you and bringing about. So in prayer preparation, he assesses what is happening. The hour of the cross. And he's going to be able to make a decision. This is not a good place to stop. But we'll stop here and we'll begin here next Sunday morning with going through these things with what is happening with Christ in prayer preparation. But I hope you're beginning to see from the life of Christ just how important prayer preparation really is and how vital it is. Now, let's close in a word of prayer and then we'll just spend some time talking. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for taking us into the thought process of Jesus Christ, who is our example. That Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, we can imitate him even in difficult times. We can go into some prayer preparation. We can think through who we are in Christ. We can think through what is really happening in our life and what we really want to pray. Pray you'll take the things that we've seen this morning and allow them to bear fruit in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. A few minutes in meeting. Cut real short, so still be going on. I want to talk to you, not on tape. We need to find a place to meet. We've got a couple of things still working, and but since they're just in the process, I'm not going to depend on them right now. We've been in prayer, and just talk with you a few moments about this decision making. What I really want to do is kind of give you a talk I gave in 1974 when I first entered the ministry, and in regard to a church and having a church. It intrudes on our life. I'm going to use the word intrude. To me, it's not an intrusion even when I'm not a pastor. But to some people, getting here, and there are just different things that are going to be required. Number one is presence, an interest, a desire to study the scriptures. People, this is not a church people are going to go to. We have a visitor, Annie. I don't want Annie to think this is a church here, because usually they have a big choir and they have beautiful music and they have 20 minutes of announcements of all the things going on, and there's just so much going on. We don't have that here. Some say amen, some regret it. In a way, I regret it. I wish we had a big music thing going. I love music in the church. We come here because study scripture and see what God is showing. Tuesday night, we get a very few people, less than 10. Wednesday night, about the same. I don't know why. We're studying Revelation, which most people have an interest in, usually. And we're studying Job, the most important book in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. But whatever reason, it's not what you want. So, we have to make a decision. So one is the attendance. Supporting. I want to know what the Bible says, as it's given here, taught here. Secondly, and people, that is not a criticism. I'm talking with you. This is a family meeting. Secondly, finance. Finance. We're not taking in enough money right now to pay the bills just for paying $500 a month to the Tisch Roshin Enterprises. So it takes a financial backing. Three, gifts. Spiritual gifts. Let me tell you, one of the biggest burdens is not finance. One of the biggest burdens inside of my soul about what's been going on, it's not finance. It's about, I know we don't have very many children in there, but I don't care if we've got one. We need to support the few people that do teach and get some more to help them. That's a spiritual gift, teaching. The ladies that are doing it are doing a great job, but we need more support for them and get some material, get some things going, and teach the young people there. So we need spiritual gifts functioning. If we move where we have to set up, we have to set up. We have to tear down. Is that fun? No, that's not fun. It's much better when a church is over, get out of there. Who wants to take down chairs, put up tables, take down tables, put up chairs, all this thing? Somebody puts them up. We take them down Wednesday. Who puts them up while we're gone? Rick? All right, thank you. And they clean. So there's these kinds of things. So as I said then, now be sure this is what we want as a church and an assembly, because God designed it for a lot of purposes. But those are gifts. Remember the spiritual gifts. Every one of you have one. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. Please remember they're not for you. And they're for the church. Is that surprising? They're not even for the world. Even the gift of evangelism, the Bible says, is for the church. That we could reason through. No. Gift of evangelism is for the world. No, Bible says gift of evangelism is for the church. Spiritual gifts are for the body of Christ. My spiritual gift, the pastor teacher, is not for me. It's for you. It is not for me. I will study Scripture whether I have the gift or not. But studying and teaching is for you. Your spiritual gift is not for you, it's for us. Leadership, helps, hospitality, giving, all these wonderful gifts, they're not for you, they're for the church. That's very important. We have a series we did. We spent so much time on spiritual gifts. Maybe we need to shorten it, but because I haven't dealt on it very much. But every one of you have at least one spiritual gift, and we need it. We need it. This assembly needs it. And we have enough spiritual gifts for everything that is here. So we have to decide that. And then in regard to finding a place, well, what can I do? Well, because we've worked. Edna's worked. Sharon's worked. Jim's worked. John's worked. When I say work, gone and looked and looked and looked. People, we have looked. It is not a matter that we're dragging feet here. We've looked at all kinds of places, and Brian's come up with some places that we're looking at. But you got to be in prayer. Help them. If you see something, hear something, you got to let us know. So we have to decide those kinds of things, because when we move, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to start encouraging more work, more teaching, and more things made available for the teaching. For the children we do have, and like this morning, we have several teenagers. We could start having a teenage meeting once a month and have some fun and fellowship. But a lot of things we need to start doing, and missionary work, and somebody here has got some call to work, really get the missions thing going. But people, I'm going to use the word cannot because it's not my gift, but cannot and am not going to do everything. That's not right. So we want a church. We want attendance. We want to hear these things. People, if Revelation and Job isn't what you want, let me know what you want. The Spirit and I can work it out. He can teach me. If those two aren't the two that you want. But we need to decide what we want to do about a local assembly. And I just want to hear your comments on what and where we ought to be, where we've been, where we are now, and where we're going. That's what I thought. Come on, say something. It's a family meeting. It's a family meeting. Don't y'all ever talk to family meetings? Are y'all like where the father raised 12 children, they had a family meeting, he did all the talking. And just some thoughts.